Good morning, Midland First. What a privilege it is to be with you this morning and to worship God in community together. We have a few announcements for you. The Curry Concert is May 17th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Gabe, is there anything more that you'd like to say about that? All right. And then we have an announcement about Hometown Nazareth from Hillary this morning.
What a blessing it is to know that Jesus is with us. Good morning, friends. Hopefully the video gave you a taste of why we're excited about this year's VBS. We will start each evening with a chef-prepared Nazareth-style meal, then shopkeepers, and kudos to the slew of youth who volunteered Sunday night and gave great ideas. The shopkeepers will go to their shops. The little kids will join their family tribes for the week, and off we will go each evening to Mary's house and the shops. We hope you are registered, and if not, please do so. Bring your family with you. Invite your friends. Join us June 10th through the 13th.
Thank you, Hillary. I have a few other announcements for you, and before I get right into that, I want to remind you to please read your e-blast. That is especially important this month. We have some different things going on. As you know, Reverend Yum is on sabbatical this month, and he wanted me to let you know that his last Sunday will be June 9th. There will be a reception for him and his family on that day, so please come and celebrate his ministry with us. If anyone needs a visit from clergy or a layperson, please call the church office. Erica would be happy to get in contact with one of us who would be happy to do that. What you might not know is that Pastor Mike is having surgery on May 14th, and he would like our prayers. From what I know, it is sort of an extensive surgery at U of M, and that will be on the 14th, so please be praying for him. I would also like to let you know that I have some vacation time coming up in the next couple of weeks, and so you will see others in the pulpit next week and on May 26th. I will be preaching today and on the 19th, and then we will have a general conference delegate coming between the services on May 26th to speak to us. And then finally, I want to let you know that our receptionist, Natalie Myers, her last day with us will be this coming Wednesday, May 8th. And she is in worship today, she'll be playing for us her French horn. So be sure to say hello to her after services today. If you have any questions, please let me know. And I think that is all that I have for announcements. Let us turn and greet one another.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Children of God, remember the good news and the new life in Christ to which you have been called. Let us wash our soiled clothes in the blood of the Lamb of God, that they be made clean, white as snow.
Praise be to God for his great mercy and love. There is still time to walk in new life, in the life of our risen Savior. May we worship God in spirit and in truth, because he is worthy.
Could the children please join us up front? Morning, everybody. We have a good morning. Glad to see you. Okay, this morning our children's blessing is a little bit different. We want to celebrate these amazing kids and give thanks to the Memorial Committee for building the foundation of our Godly Play resources. Godly Play is a holy, Bible-based methodology for children's church or Sunday school. The big concepts are mystery, as in mystery of faith, and wonderings, as in what does today's Bible lesson make you wonder about? I want to share with you just some of the wonderings. Looks like we have a slide up there. Okay, this was a wondering that one child did when we were talking about the love of God. This comes from a child's heart and head, totally spontaneously in response to the lesson. Next slide, please. This is a picture of Resurrection Sunday. People look kind of happy, don't they, even though they don't know what's going on. The mystery of faith. Oh, sorry, I must have taken the picture the wrong way. Let that animal be on its feet. This is one of my favorites and was one of our first wanderings. That is a picture of Mary riding the donkey to Bethlehem. It's sideways. A big sister wanted to highlight her 16-month-old little sister who was eating goldfish. And that was the baby's wondering, because we had talked about Jesus and the disciples fishing that day. Crosses have become very important. The wooden crosses are those that are part of godly play. You see that some of the crosses were constructed from Play-Doh. We also have a remembrance of Jesus's pierced hand. And then one child constructed a cross with some of the play equipment. This was a really holy moment in Sunday school, because she brought that cross and asked, "I want to give this cross to Jesus." I said, "We can do that." And we prayed the cross to Jesus. This is a question: why did Jesus split the bread? That was after we talked about the walk to Emmaus. Next slide. This too is the dinner that Jesus shared with the men he met on the walk to Emmaus. And there's all of them. We'll have all of our wanderings up from Easter till Pentecost, because that's the season of the church. And is that the last one, Brian? Thank you. You're welcome to stop in P4 anytime and check out the wanderings. The mystery and wondering of these kids in godly play has moved my own spiritual development more than anything else this year. It is very humbling to be in P4 with the people before you. Thank you, too, to their parents for sharing them with us. Affirmations that have come our way since using godly play have been shopping on the website and seeing that resources are now being produced congregation size. Godly play isn't just for little kids. And then another affirmation was sitting next to one of the girls designing VBS costumes, and she writes, "How is a kid a king?" That's a wondering. This morning, I'd like us to sing, because he who sings prays twice, all together. Please join us, congregation, as we sing one of our favorites. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Here we go, guys. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Thank you.
What a beautiful way to lead us into prayer. Let us pray together. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for our children and for all they bless us with. Thank you for their wonderings. May we be led deeper into wonder and awe of you as we not only continue this service, but go throughout our days. God, help us to look for you in the things around us, in the things we hear, including the music. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church today and for those who cannot worship as we do. We pray for war-torn countries and for people around the world who don't have what they need. Lord, you are the provider. Provide for them in ways that only you know. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege that it is to worship you in spirit and in truth. May you indeed lead us into deeper love of you as we learn more about who you are through your word. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to do that, and for the privilege that it is to pray together and to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now we will have a time of offering. Will the ushers please come forward? God, you are the source of all our gifts, and thank you so much for that. You are the giver of every good thing. Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts to your honor and glory, and that you would multiply them as you see fit. All that we have to give is all that we have already been given. And Lord, we thank you so much that we get to give out of our abundance because you are the one that has provided for us. Please bless these gifts and bless those who will receive whatever you choose to do with them. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you still have a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you've ever seen the TV show Psych, you know that it is known for the character Sean and his ever-comedic personality and his eidetic memory. Sean is not a psychic, but he tricks the police department into believing so in order to avoid jail time, because he got a slew of information that allowed the police to put the real criminal behind bars. An anonymous tipper who had seen the news and given so much accurate information, Sean made it hard for the police to believe that the information did not come from the inside. He notices minute details, and he can recall them with crazy accuracy, ones that others do not see. In our text today, Jesus calls the church in Sardis to remember the minute details. Jumping right into the text, in verse 3, he says, "Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you." Now, I don't believe in jumping around a text, taking things out of context, lest they be easily misconstrued. However, I believe it is important to begin here in verse 3 because this is at the heart of the passage. Without verse 3, without remembering, the church cannot move forward in faithfulness to God. Sardis was located 30 miles southeast of Thyatira, the church that Reverend Yum preached about last week. Sardis had much to be admired. It was culturally rich, had a natural citadel with rocks that went up 1,500 feet. It was the place where Roman roads met and was thought to be a city that could not be taken. However, George Ladd tells us the city was known for the cult of Cybele, the goddess of one of Asia's most famous mystery religions. Sardis was also zealous in promoting emperor worship. Sardis enjoyed all the luxury it could handle, but the church had forgotten its God. The church in Sardis had become a church known for its works, prominent because of the city in which it was located, and because this was a city that was said that could never be dominated. That is, until the city fell twice. John Christopher Thomas tells us to Cyrus and to Antiochus the Great, owing to a lack of vigilance on the part of its inhabitants. This is the context in which the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, as verse 1 tells us, this is the context in which these words were written. Jesus was not unaware of the circumstances of the church at Sardis. He was no less sovereign because they were going in a way in which they had a name of being alive, but were dead, as it says in verse 1. Jesus even says, "I know your works." What a way to characterize a group of Christ followers. You have the name of being alive, but are dead. Ouch. The sovereign God of the universe, the one who creates and the one who gives life, calls out the church for having the appearance of life, but of being dead. His very first sentence to them. The text does not tell us how they got here, but discerning from what we know about the city itself, cities do not fall on their own, nor do they crumble overnight. In verse 2, Jesus says, "It is time to wake up. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God." They have not yet reached the point of no return. There is still time to turn back and remember. That is why we jumped right into the passage this morning. We should not ignore the context of what we're looking at, nor should we ever come to a text and read it as if we know what it should say. Anytime we open the Bible, it is important to come with a spirit of humility, even as we understand our presuppositions that follow in our understanding and in our reading. That is true for us all, because we all have life experiences that we think about when we read. However, we are called to lay aside those as much as possible whenever we open the scriptures, because they are sacred. The words written down in what we call the Bible were written down by human hands, but they are divinely inspired by God now and forever. We come with open hands and let the text teach us. Let God speak to us and not the other way around. That is why the imperative to remember in verse 3 is so important. Jesus is calling the church to remember what they have received and heard, the details of the good news. That is how they obey and repent. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, reminds the people that we live in a broken world, and sin holds us captive. All of us are guilty of separating ourselves from God by allowing our own ideas of what is good and what is best dictate how we live. But Paul calls the church to see the kindness of God, but not just see it, to know and acknowledge it. This is the good news. This is what would lead the church in Sardis to obey and repent, remembering what they had seen and heard, the kindness of God. Jesus does not mince his words. He calls them to remember the minute details and hold them in mind because they have fallen asleep. Their works were many, but their eyes were not fixed only on Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. They had the name of being alive, but were dead. And their garments were soiled. They had relaxed into the fortified city around them. But the city fell twice. And Jesus warned the church that he would come like a thief, and they would be caught unaware if they remained sleeping. They had to be honest with themselves if they were going to walk with Jesus. The kingdom of God is worth everything it costs to buy it. Matthew records a parable of what the kingdom of God is like. He writes that Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Can you imagine it? Let's pause right here for just a second. I'm going to read those two verses again, but this time I'd like you to please close your eyes and imagine what it might look like for these verses to play out in a literal, real-life situation. What might be planted in the field? What does the treasure look like? What is the man's reaction? How does he know the value of what he has found? What about the merchant? How does he know what he has found? From Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay, you can open your eyes now. The reason I had you do that was because I wanted to shift the perspective and remind us that the kingdom of God is not some abstract thing out there, wherever out there is. But that's my point. When I read those two verses, something popped into your mind, didn't it? Some image, some memory. The kingdom of God is not something we just talk about. It is a reality that we live into, and it is more real than the brokenness that we are deceived by so easily. It is so easy to get caught up in day-to-day tasks, in weekly routines, in the things right in front of our faces that matter to us, that it is easy to forget that we were created first and foremost to be in relationship with God and to allow every other relationship to be centered in Christ Jesus. We were created to live with God in His love and to enjoy that which He has created. Everything that is good and right and true, everything that is honorable and pure, just and worthy of praise, it reflects the kingdom of God. Friends, I say this to you because what we learn from the church in Sardis and the letter that Jesus has written to them is important, and it is essential to understanding how Christ calls us to live and what it means to be His disciple. It is not enough to have the appearance of being alive, of doing the works of God, without our eyes being fixed upon Him. It is not enough to want the kingdom of God without walking the path that goes into it. It is not enough to make a habit out of engaging in the means of grace without remembering the grace that taught us to engage with God and that it is a privilege to do so. The greatest joy that we could ever have in this life is found in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens as we walk into the future, we are called to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, because it is He who created us and who loves us more than anyone else ever could. And it is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who gave His very life for us so that we would never have to be separated from God again. Verses 4 and 5 in Revelation chapter 3 from our passage today say, "Yet you still have a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not erase your name from the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and His angels." Friends, make no mistake, Jesus is faithful, and He walks with us, but we are called to walk next to Him as well. You see, these two verses are not a guarantee. They are a call to walk faithfully with God as He faithfully walks with us. Verse 5 says, "If you conquer," meaning that Jesus is expecting us to do something in order to receive the inheritance that He has for us in the kingdom of God. Let me clarify and make it very clear what I'm saying so that there's no miscommunication. There are no conditions to God's love. God is going to love us no matter what we do. But we get to choose whether we are going to love Him back or not. We get to choose whether we are going to be faithful to him. That is why we are called to remember what we have received and heard, just as the church in Sardis was called. Because God's love and everything created from and within that love is more beautiful than we even have words for. It is worth giving up everything for, but we get to choose whether we are going to do that or not. In every circumstance, we get to choose. What I am doing my best to communicate is that as faithful followers of Christ, we are called to take hold of our faith, walk in the confidence and joy of the Lord, and live from that place because of what he has done for us, and to fix our eyes on him because there is nothing better. It doesn't matter what circumstances we're talking about. Circumstances come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. That is who we follow. That is who we live our lives for. That is why we do the work that we do in this building and outside of this building as followers of Jesus Christ, because we love him. That is what it means to follow Jesus, to love Jesus for who he is, period, and to do everything that we do because we love him. That is how we conquer. Some of you have heard me quote Julian of Norwich before. She was a writer in the early church, and the quote that I love is very simple. It goes like this: "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." We know that to be true because of who Jesus is. May we, Midland First United Methodist Church, fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and him only, so that we may be alive not only in appearance but in reality. We fix our eyes on Jesus Christ not because the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price are tangible things and we can hold on to them, but because the greatest treasure we could ever have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us pursue him as he pursues us, because that is how relationships grow. And because he is the best thing worth remembering. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we come to the communion table together, I invite you to remember when Christ called you to himself. I would also invite you to turn to pages 12 and 13 in your hymnal, or to look at the screen as we begin the communion liturgy together. Do you want to hold this, please? Thank you. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves it. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right,
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Will our communion stewards please come forward? The table is set. Come.
In remembrance. remembrance of me, eat this
bread.
In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me,
the Strategic Leadership Council has an announcement for us.
Good morning. On behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council, I would like to announce the appointment of Reverend Jeremy Africa, our new pastor, effective July 1st, 2024. Pastor Jeremy and his wife, Cara, were introduced to our Strategic Leadership Council on Friday evening by our district superintendent, the Reverend John Casper, on behalf of Bishop David Bard, who set this new appointment. We are excited about the spirit, gifts, and abilities that Pastor Jeremy will bring to our congregation. He and his family come to us from the Otsego United Methodist Church, where he has served since 2022. We will be planning a warm welcome for Pastor Jeremy, Cara, and their family after his arrival in July, when we will begin our shared ministry under his leadership. In the meantime, of course, we will also be celebrating the ministry of Pastor Yum to thank him for his years of faithful service as we pray God's blessing upon his future. We are so pleased to make this announcement and know that you will enjoy meeting Pastor Jeremy and Kara. Please hold them and their family in prayer during these months of transition. Pray too for the whole cabinet, including Bishop Bard, as they continue to meet, pray, and discern God's will in the appointment-making process. Trusting in God's amazing grace, Christ's faithful love, and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as we move into the future. I'd also like to share a letter that Reverend Africa gave to me Friday evening. He thought I might like to include some of this information in the announcement I just made. But I think it's a lovely letter, and it's short. So I would like to read it to you. Friends and members of First UMC Midland, I am humbled and excited by Bishop David Bard's appointment of me to First United Methodist Church of Midland as lead pastor. While Kara and I were so blessed by our time at Midland First from 2006 to 2010, when I served as associate pastor, we could not have imagined the road God has laid that is leading us back here. Even though I realize there's, quote, no stepping into the same river twice, Kara and I look forward to returning to a church that has stayed special to us since we left, and a community we enjoyed and admired our first time through. Kara works as a licensed professional counselor via telehealth. She specializes in working with adolescents and young adults going through life's transitions. Joining us when we return will be our 10-year-old son, Andrew. He will enter the fourth grade this fall and loves cars, sports, and family. What Andrew wants people to know about him is that he's not a quitter. Accompanying all three of us will be our 3-year-old English Black Labrador Retriever, Brooks. My family and I look forward to renewing past acquaintances and friendships, beginning new ones, learning anew all that God is doing at Midland First, meeting the staff, serving alongside the church's leadership, and imagining with the congregation all that God is calling us to do together to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. God's best, Reverend Jeremy Africa. I would also like to share a couple photos that Reverend Africa gave to me Friday evening. I know that many of you will recognize these familiar faces and remember them fondly. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, friends, go in the love of Christ and remember what he has done. Remember the good news and what he has called us to. Go out and proclaim it boldly. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.